Here in Vancouver. Here are new take on the 30-year legacy of Discorder Magazine, your Vancouver Indie Music Monthly, featuring hot local bands, live interviews, and good times.
Yeah!
Tune in every Tuesday from 5 to 6
for your weekly dose of what's happening in print, on stage, and live on the airwaves. It's Discorder Radio.
Discorder.
On CITR.
CITO.
CITR.
101.9 FM.
101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Five o'clock Tuesday, it's time for Discorder Radio. November 18th, 2014, a jam-packed show for you as always. So much awesome live music happening in Vancouver tonight, including Shindig Night number 5, which we'll get to later in the show. We also have a live in-studio performance from Good for Grapes. We'll be playing this Thursday's peak performance project along with these guys. It's Derival, an original script on Discorder Radio.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Brennan.
And I'm Jill.
We're from the Tourist Company.
And you're listening to Discorder Radio on
CITR 101.9.
Woo-hoo! Woo!
Yes, Discorder Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. That was, that station I need there was Tourist Company. Which is quite fitting that they were playing the station ID off our lead track today, which was by Derival, the track called Original Script. Derival, along with Tourist Company, are playing the Peak Performance Project finale this Thursday night, along with Good for Grapes, who, yes, ladies and gentlemen, they are here live in studio. Well, they're not here at this very second, but they'll be here in about 7 minutes' time. So stick around for that. It's Discord Radio and CITR. Wade here, along with DJ CJ, Matt Muse, and Liz Holiday. How we doing, gang?
Yo.
Good. Great.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Cool. yeah, it's an exciting show. There's so much happening around town, and we are just hopping around.
Too much
on the internet, just surfing through every single website we can to find out what's happening for you guys out there.
Yeah, there's lots happening tonight. Of course, the Shindig night number 5 is happening. We'll also get to that later in the show. There's great cool stuff happening here at UBC on Thursday. We'll talk about that later in the show. But quickly, just to recap on the weekend, how was everyone's weekend? Did you get to see any live music?
It was pretty good. I went and checked out the 1975 at the Vogue.
Did they play Chocolate?
They did play Chocolate.
Imagine they didn't play Chocolate.
It was part of the encore. Yeah.
It'd be a riot.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The lead singer's a bit of a diva, and I had read the review of last time they were here, which was like last April, and basically the show was exactly the same. Like his mannerisms and the things that he said and all of the motions, that like the physical motions he was making, we had read about from like a show a year ago, so... That was a bit unfortunate, but they did play Chocolate.
Okay.
And the 13-year-old girls were going crazy for it, as was I.
Nice.
So that was good.
Awesome. Glad to hear you feel fulfilled.
I do.
On that one.
I do.
I feel pretty fulfilled too, actually. Like CJ mentioned off the top, our FOMO was going off the charts. This Saturday, I was running all over the place trying to see as much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
I did get to a few shows, which I'm happy about, but I want to just quickly make a mention to all the amazing music that was happening this past Saturday night. So we had at the Commodore, we had Tokyo Police Club with Said the Whale and Pac AD, Shindig alumni Pac AD, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right across the street was a band called Flavor House that has just come out with an EP called Molly Be Damned. I got to check out their set at Joe's apartment. There was a really cool show happening at the Lido as well. It was Jody Glenham along with the Shilohs. And probably the most interesting of all that I happened to check out on Saturday night was a house party. It was a keg party. It was just literally a stone's throw from the commercial Broadway SkyTrain station. It was The Oz Presents, as in the band The Oz, T-H-E-A-H-S. The Names album kegger. So basically at this house, they had The Oz were playing along with Woolworm, a band called Affirmative Times 3, which is actually a Ya Ya Ya's cover band.
Affirmative Times 3.
Get it? You like that? And then to close out the show was Dead Soft.
Wow. Wicked.
Playing a kegger at a house party in East Van, steps from commercial Broadway. Very, very cool. And there's about 300 people packed into that house for that one. Good times all around. We're going to play, as our ode to the Oz for helping to promote this event, we're going to play some music from the Oz right after we play some music from Flavor House. This is their Discorder Radio debut. Flavor House, by the way, the members are Matt Tarnowski, Dan McKim, Aaron East, and the lovable Alicia Osborne, Flavor House. And this track is called La La Love. Flavor House, Discorder Radio, CITR.
Said.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Colleen Renison, lead singer of No Sinner, and you're listening to CITR Discorder Radio on 101.9.
That's the one, baby! Woo! Good audio on the high five, too.
Is it bad?
Is it bad?
After all that?
They don't sound angry at all. That's called I'm Not Angry Anymore, The Oz on Discorder Radio. Prior to that, we heard Flavor House making their Discorder Radio debut. It's 5:20, and we are proud to bring into the CITR studio, all the way from Surrey, BC, Daniel and Graham from Good for Grapes. Welcome, guys. Good to have you here. Nice. Now, this is actually the third time we've had a chat on CITR, but the first time we had it in the comfy confines of the studio here.
Is it?
Well, it's the first time in the studio, I think, that we've had a chat.
Okay.
I remember we've
definitely been in here, because I remember sitting in here and listening to a song being played and like criticizing the mix. I remember that exact moment. Yeah.
And what show was that on?
I think that was on, what's it called?
The Folk Roots one, yeah.
Yeah, what's it called?
Saturday
you would know better
Edge.
Than us. No,
Folk Oasis.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, for your Discorder Radio in studio debut, again, it's great to have you guys here.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice. Now, it's a huge week for not only yourselves, but for a couple of other bands as well, Derival and The Tourist Company. It's all part of the Peak Performance Project finale, the fifth annual, I believe. I want to talk a little bit about that, this big event happening on Thursday, and of course, your place in it. But first of all, there's a real almost like urban legend about how you guys met. And it's apparently a really quirky story of how you met on a ferry. So I'd like to give you the floor to give us all the nitty-gritty details of what exactly happened on that fateful day, on that fateful ferry ride when you all came together.
Well, this has probably been the most misconstrued story of all time.
Okay, well,
we probably, right, as a band, have heard this one about 15, 20 different
we were
ways.
Born on the ferry and met each other.
We did know each other before this ferry ride. We all went to high school together, and actually, previous to that trip we'd taken to Victoria, we're all in a musical together. If you guys have heard of a musical called A Harry Potter Musical.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did a recreation of that.
We got a fan over here. Her mouth is agape. Hold on, let me just put your mouth up.
Okay, well, to my left here, you've got Harry Potter.
Oh, okay, I can see it.
Anyway.
I did not see it, but obviously, based on Liz's reaction, it was quite a performance.
Yeah, that was a fun time. Actually, the first time that Daniel and I worked together really musically was creating all the backtracks and recording everything for that musical.
Ah. And so when was this musical?
It's grade 11 for me, 12 for you. So I guess 2010, 11? Yeah, 2010, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
So this is obviously Fateful Fairy Ride.
Pre-Fateful Fairy Ride, yes.
Okay, so take us back to the day.
Okay, back to the day. well, Daniel's sister lives on the island.
Okay.
And he wanted to go over and visit her and bring some friends along to hang out. And because we had all just become friendlies and had all just started doing music things together because of this musical, we decided to take all our instruments with us over onto the island. So
were all six of the current Good for Grace members on the ride?
No, it was just myself, Daniel, our pianist Alexa, and our bassist Robert.
Okay.
So we had our instruments with us, and we brought those on the ferry with us and set up to practice so that we could busk on the island. Okay. We had it in our heads that we were going to busk, and that's where the busking legend comes from.
It's okay, just very cool.
We thought we were going to. As it turns out, everyone on the ferry thought that we were there to perform. We ended up with this huge crowd.
Wow. Were you out on the upper deck? Were you inside?
We just set up on the outside deck and started jamming and trying to actually learn some songs, and ended up having to perform for about half an hour.
Wow. And how many people would you say were within eyeshot of that performance?
About 3,000. No. It seemed like a lot. It's probably like 20, 30 people.
Yeah. Okay. For your first show,
it's the biggest crowd we've ever had. Yeah. And then we actually went to the other side of the ferry, and the same thing happened. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
we did it twice, that same ride.
Yeah, we never talk about that part, but that totally happened.
Wow.
Wow.
So that is where the legend was born.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do we know what vessel was it on? Was it the Queen of Surrey? Or was it the Queen of British Columbia? Does anyone know what vessel it was?
Nope.
No.
No idea. We didn't know it was a significant thing at the time, I guess, so we weren't really taking notes. But
I bet there's a way you could probably track down which vessel it was. And it'd be kind of cool to, you know, who knows, 10 or 20 years from now, do an anniversary show on that vessel.
On that vessel. You know?
Yeah. I'm sure you could actually charge tickets and get people to come and actually be there for that reason, if that was the case. But hey, who knows? Maybe we'll find out if that will be the case this Thursday. Because, of course, the Peak Performance Project finale is coming up, which could be a huge milestone in your young careers. We actually had we were watching, Liz, I'll let you bring in this conversation.
Oh yeah.
Well, this is really cool. We were watching on your website. Someone was filming the announcement video.
Yeah. That was a cool video. Did you guys? So I have to ask this question. What would you have done if you hadn't gotten into it and you were filming your reaction?
We
then?
Probably
would have
still posted it.
Probably. Okay. I was
look at the disappointment.
I'm like, oh, better luck next time.
Yeah, it would have been 5 minutes of us sitting with blank stares. Yeah.
Well, this is actually your second crack at the Peak Performance Project. So how have things changed for you in the past year where you entered last year? Aside from the fact that it was 20 bands and now it's down to 12. What else have you learned or improved upon, or have you done different this time around to ensure you got into the top three?
I think we just took it more seriously. And we learned a lot last year, not just about what they teach at boot camp, but how we actually work together as a band. And I mean, since that last year, we've actually had two new members, and now we're touring with another guy. So there's been a lot of changes in the band. And I think just through a year of meeting other bands and learning all this stuff and actually doing serious touring and going, to conferences. And really, this has been the biggest year for us, just all around, not just with the Peak Performance Project. So that kind of, I think, forced us into a certain ethic that maybe we didn't notice, but I think it definitely paid off because our final report was definitely better. I think our performance was definitely better, and pretty much every aspect of what we were doing was just naturally a bit better than it was the year before.
Mm-hmm. You said it wasn't only the Peak Performance Project, but other aspects of this year were big for you. What else were you alluding to there?
Like we played our first, like we went down to South by Southwest together with the new members, and that was a huge thing, just playing in the States and seeing such a huge music festival like that. It was really like eye-opening and meeting bands from like across the world, and just it's incredible how many good, like fantastic musicians play down there for that. So that was really like a waking moment, like, wow, there are some seriously good musicians in the world and we need to step up our game. But also we did three, since the last Peak Performance Project, we've done three Cross Canada tours.
Wow.
And that was, yeah, that's our first real touring outside of BC and Alberta. So it's been a big year.
A lot of shows under your belt. How many shows you guys played this year?
I wish I knew off the top of my head. I don't know.
Is it in the triple digits? High double digits.
High double digits. Yeah.
Okay. Very high double digits.
Cool. And out of all those shows, high double digits, is there one, is it sort of one moment or one memory that stands out as, I mean, the reason I asked this is I remember when you guys played here as part of the Backyard Barbecue back in, on the first Friday of September. I remember at one point looking at Alexis, your keyboards player, and she was just had this picture of absolute like euphoria, like fist pumping on stage, to the crowd's reaction, singing back your songs. I was looking at her as seeing that she was really loving like that moment. I'm wondering if there's another show in this past year that you can think of as a great moment that you can recall. Like, this is, we're having an amazing time with this, and wow, pinch me.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments like that. I mean, that specifically, that feeling of, oh my God, they're singing our lyrics back to us. This is unreal. That has been happening more lately just because we've been on the radio. Like, we have shows where we're playing, you know, Halifax, where nobody knows us, nobody knows our name, but maybe they've heard the song, so yeah. They kind of like start singing along to that, and it's just this weird thing. But like that happens, I don't know, for me, the craziest show has been our homecoming show. After a month-long tour, we came back to Vancouver and played the Imperial with this band that we had been on the road with for a month, and like we were home finally, and for us a month is a long time to be gone. They had been on and off the road for like 6 years, and that was also their last show.
What band was that?
Lair in His Flask.
Okay.
So it was just like huge for everybody on that tour. It was like this huge like relief moment, and we were so happy we were home, and we were so happy to be playing for like all our family and friends were there, and like a ton of people. It was just an amazing, amazing feeling. But yeah. That's just for me. What about you?
Yeah, no, it's always the homecoming shows that are the really special ones when we get to play here, especially because there's really nothing more humbling than going out on tour and playing for the crowds of 10 again and realizing, oh, right, we're not that big of a band yet. Mm. And then you get to have that awesome feeling when you get back home.
Cool, cool. Well, let's play the song that that had Alexis pumping her fists here at UBC, and the song that kind of inspired that question and that thought. So this is Skipping Stone, which I guess you could say is the latest Good for Grapes single. So here we go. Live in studio with Good for Grapes with Graham and Daniel, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, Discorder Radio.
Beyond, be careless and free on this road. Yeah, my sins are bound to me, I was told. You're the girls I've known in my life. But you're asking me to find my fate, and I will idly start. Yeah, I can't explain the hole in my heart. Mm-hmm. You're asking me to hide my shame, and my shame won't go, but I can't explain what I hardly know. No. No. But I made enough mild mistakes on my own. Told me the same. My heart is gone, I'm a useless name.
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
We're back in Discorder Radio on CITR 101.9. Apologies to Alexa, who I accidentally called Alexis. I got so excited we were playing Skipping Stone, where I saw her being excited that I mispronounced her name. And actually, you guys want to give a quick shout-out to the rest of your bandmates that couldn't be here today?
Oh, yeah. So, big hello from Alex and Alexa and Robert. And who else is in our band? William. Yeah. And Greg.
And Greg.
Everyone says hi.
Nice. They will be playing at the Commodore this Thursday as part of Peak Performance Finale number 5, I believe, along with Derival and the Tourist Company. Do you get to know those guys pretty well?
Yeah, I mean, we've known Derival for a long time. I think our bands kind of started around the same time. But Tourist Company, we just met and got to know them over boot camp, and they're just the best people.
Cool. Now, there's been, just like the rumors of the famous ferry ride, infamous ferry ride, there's been a lot of murmurs about what actually happens at this Peak Performance boot camp. Can you try to, I don't know, dispel those rumors right about now?
I'm really curious as to know what some of those rumors are. This sounds frightening. I mean, if you've ever been to summer camp, it's essentially that, but a whole bunch of rowdy musicians. It's like school. You go to 4 classes a day, and each of those classes is led by an industry professional, someone who works in music business or has been touring in bands. They just bring all these people in there to basically share their knowledge with you, and you get to learn all about what it's like to really be in the business. And
Yeah, it's really eye-opening. It's like a new roster of professionals every day, and they have it scheduled out so you're getting the most out of the classes, and you're getting up at 7:30 every morning, and then you go through the classes, and then you eat amazing, amazing food. Yeah, and cool. Every night there's a showcase, so they do like kind of like personal showcases. So you're just playing to a bunch of musicians and then judges. So it's not graded or anything. It's just like you're doing it to improve your craft. But every night there's 4 musicians that go on, and they are critiqued. And after that, we go into the studio and record until about 2 a.m. And then we go to sleep or try to go to sleep.
Sleep. Yeah. But you're rowdy musicians at summer camp.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'd say it's a bit more intense than summer camp.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There's a real reason they have unlimited coffee available.
Yeah, there's coffee everywhere. It's nice.
What would you say has been the toughest? I mean, because there's a lot of great things. I mean, so many positives to come out of being part of this this elite group. if you will, that gets to be in part of the Peak Performance Project and gets access to all the, these amazing music minds at the boot camp. But what has been the toughest part of the experience? Has it been kind of any, I guess not any sort of negative sides of it, that it was just like, this was a lot harder than I expected?
I'd say the toughest part, and I'm sure I'm speaking for most of the bands this year, was just, I mean, everyone sees it as this competition or a contest against other bands, but you quickly realize that the only person you're competing against is yourself, and you have to challenge yourself, and kind of like what you've done so far isn't the best it could be, and you have to understand that. And kind of like with songwriting, for example, like I kind of found out quickly that I needed to up my game in every way, and I just, it was like mind-blowing. And with every aspect of your career, you could be doing better, and there are things that you should be doing that you just aren't doing. And it's just, that's probably the hardest part, wrapping your head around the industry and all the things you have to do in order to actually make it in the Canadian music industry. So
cool. Any thoughts on that, Graham?
No, I mean, I agree with that completely. There's a lot of self-evaluation, and really, like, everyone in your band really has to think a lot and learn a lot about what their place is, too, not just in the music industry, but even in the bands specifically. There's just there's so much self-evaluation and really, like, figuring out yourselves.
Cool. It's good to hear that because, you know, it seems to be a lot of like rah rah performance project boot camp fun. So it's actually thanks for that, you know, insight on the realities of the struggles that you've had to deal with throughout that process. Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Liz, you want to pipe in here?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you guys just before we wrap up, like, what is next on the horizon for Good for Grapes? Obviously, you have the show coming up on Thursday, but aside from the Peak Performance and whatever it may bring, What are your plans for the next little while?
Yeah, the next thing for us is to make a brand new record. So we're looking to do that in February. And until then, we're just working on songs.
Nice. Employing some of those tricks you learned at boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
Nice. And one of the things, of course, at boot camp is getting to meet and hang out with other musicians, a lot of collaboration. One of the things that was great that Peak has done is put together this compilation album where I guess all the bands from the BC project, and well as this year was the first, the inaugural Alberta project. So this year, I guess they took one BC band and one Alberta band. They got together and they made an album. And so you guys got to collaborate with the Royal Foundry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to play a track right now. You guys want to give us a little bit of background about behind this track that you performed with these guys?
Yeah, the track kind of came about when our producer told us that everything we had so far was garbage. But yeah, it was cool. It was really fun collaborating with the Royal Foundry. They're the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life.
Even nicer than Tourist Company?
That's really hard because literally those are like the two, like, they're all just such flowery people. I don't know.
And the fact that you've known Derival since the beginning, it sounds like this is almost like a perfect final three. Like there's a lot of brotherly, sisterly love in the final three.
Yeah, totally. Those guys are just like the most hardworking youngsters I've ever met. Yeah.
Youngsters.
Lots of group hugs.
You're younger than us, so this year we weren't like the young ones. It was nice.
Nice. Well, let's play that collaboration now with the Royal Foundry. Guys, thanks so much for coming in. Once again, Graham and Daniel from Good for Grapes, who you can see this Thursday night at the Commodore as part of the Peak Performance Finale Project. Peak Performance Project Finale, sorry. And guys, best of luck.
Thanks a
lot. Big night. And of course, if you win, you guys win over $100,000 to put toward your career, which would be huge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so without further ado, let's play the track, which is called Treading Water. Once again, Good for Grapes, live in studio with us here on Discord Radio on CITR.
Thanks,
guys.
Stepping out into the big, broad hallway, you feel your eyes getting heavy as always as you glance over everything. Everything's just a little less colored. Everything's just a little bit smaller than you thought when you used to dream.
When we've gone all in, will we sing and call sweet?
treading water, holding out for something better. I'm treading water, reaching out for something bigger. I'm treading water, holding out for something better. I'm treading water, reaching out for something bigger. I'm searching for someone, searching for something in me.
I'm Graham.
Hey, I'm Alex.
I'm Will.
I'm Alexa.
I'm Daniel.
I'm Rob.
And we're good for grapes. You're listening to Discorder Radio
on CITR 101.9.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Hey. Oh, oh yeah.
On the throne. All my sins are bound to me. I was told.
Track there. That was Tourist Company along with Samantha Savage, Stop All Your Running. And prior to that, we heard Good for Grapes with the Royal Foundry, Treading Water. Both those are part of the collaboration tracks as part of the Peak Performance Project's collaboration CD. Thanks again to Good for Grapes, Graham and Daniel, for coming on in, having a chat with us. And best of luck to them, as well as the other bands, Tourist Company and Derival, who we heard off the top, all three bands playing in this Thursday's Peak Performance Project finale at the Commodore Thursday night with over $102,000 up for grabs. That's Thursday night. Let's bring it closer to home and talk about tonight. It is Shindig number 5 happening at the Hindenburg. Liz, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine, thanks. How are you?
Oh, there you go. Nice. So yeah, it's night number 5 tonight. We've got 5 new bands. They are
3 new bands.
Yes, night number 5 and 3 new bands. I'm getting my numbers all mixed up here.
Yeah, so they're Skim Milk.
Yes.
Which is a one-man instrumentalist, clarinetist, I believe. So that's going to be a little different. We have Spring Breaks, and then we have UBC's own 2 Doges and a couple of Bods.
Very cool name.
So that's going to be great.
Yes. Nice. We don't have a lot of time to play any of their music.
Yes.
Because so much is going on tonight. But come down to the Hindenburg. Check it out. It all gets underway at about 9 o'clock. Come see the bands for yourselves, and one will be a winner, and we'll hopefully get a chance to chat with them next week.
Yes.
Speaking of the winner, last week at number 4, the winning band was a band by the name of Malk, who we just happen to have on the line right about now. Hello, hello.
Hey there.
Is that Kyle?
Yeah, it is.
How you doing, man?
Great, man. How are you?
Awesome. Good to have you on Discorder Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Nice. Nice. So you guys are fresh off the big victory at Shindig Night number 4?
Yeah, man.
Yeah? How was the whole Shindig experience for you?
It was really great, man. The Hindenburg's a really nice venue.
Nice. Okay. It is a nice venue. I like it a lot. So, obviously Shindig, BC's or Vancouver's big battle of the bands. When you guys were, applying to Shindig, did you, talk a little bit about how you guys came to be and decide to apply to the Shindig competition?
Well, we just kind of get together in the last year here to start it off with the three of us, myself and Alex and Amanda, sort of as the group of the core of the band, writing the songs, and we've recently added a rhythm section, and we just figured, we've seen a lot of really great bands go through Shindig and do really well. And, just felt like something we wanted to be a part of.
So you've been going throughout the years to different Shindigs, taking notes. Have you ever gone up and told joke for beer?
I can't say that I have, man.
Okay. Well, what do you think was the key to your success last Tuesday night and how you guys were able to emerge as the winning act?
Honestly, I just think we played as hard as we possibly could. It was pretty energetic set, and I think we all had a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I heard from a couple of CITR folks that you guys really killed it. So I guess energy really counts, It's mm-hmm. a big factor that judges really look for.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, one I thought the Vaporettos put on a great show back in week one, but they just had a bit of a lackluster frontman. So the band that won that night was Pale Red, who musically I didn't think were nearly as tight as the Vaporettos, but had much more of a performance. And I mean, let's be honest, the Shindig is about the performance. So congrats on that great performance.
Well, hey, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah. Kyle, I'm here with Liz Holiday as well, one of the APs here at Discord Radio.
Hi there, Kyle.
Hey there.
I actually just had a little question. So I don't know if maybe what you're talking about you guys having that energy and like playing really tight as a band. I know you guys were recently featured in Discorder.
Yeah.
And you mentioned kind of that in producing your first EP that's coming out next month, that changed a lot for you as a band. And has Shindig been one of your first performances since going through that, or have you been performing quite a bit?
We've played a few shows here and there, but I would say that Shindig is probably the first major thing we've done since.
Cool. Do you feel like you're really seeing kind of the effect of like that experience in how you're playing live now?
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool. I also heard you mentioned that that Felix Fung kind of tore you apart a bit. What, can you elaborate on that at all?
I just think he's a guy who doesn't have a lot of room for niceties, but he's very to the point, if you don't have your shit together, he's going to let you know.
There you go.
And, it was a really great formative experience for us, I think.
Cool. Getting a little battered and bruised.
Yeah, for sure.
I see.
Nice, nice. Well, Kyle, thanks so much for joining us here. Best of luck. You guys have a bit of a break now, and you'll come back in the semifinals in January. And if you want to read more about Malk, pick up your trusty November issue of Discorder magazine, where there's a great little write-up by Kiefer Pelleck. You can find it on page 62. And all right, let's play some music right now from Malk. This is the single called Switch. It's Malk on Discorder Radio on CITR 101.9. And Kyle, thanks so much for joining us here on Discorder Radio today.
Cheers, man.
Jordan from Phoenix Thunderbird, and you are listening to Discorder Radio on CITR. Yeah!
What's up? It's Discorder, CITR 101.9 FM. So, yeah, it's been a pretty jam-packed show, but I'll tell you what, I know what I'm excited for. There's a load of live music happening in the next, like, 3-4 days.
Sure is, man.
Yeah. What are you excited to see, CJ?
Well, there are a ton of things happening around town. There's one thing happening at UBC itself. We'll be getting to that in a bit. But you've got a special something all the way from Alberta.
Well, yeah. In addition, so there's all kinds of big ticket items tonight. You could go see Fleetwood Mac. You could go see Lights. You could go see, I guess that's tomorrow. Tomorrow you can go see Flying Lotus. But tonight, if you head down to the Railway Club,
you can see there's a Vancouver musician via Edmonton, a guy by the name of Curtis LeBlanc, and he's just got a new record out. And he's going to be playing some stuff from that tonight at the Railway Club. Joining him, also from Edmonton, is going to be a guy by the name of Joe Vickers. And if you're from Edmonton at all, anyone, any Edmontonians listening, you may have heard of a band called Audio Rocketry. They're two-man, well, they started out as two guys, Joe and Matt, but they slowly sort of added more members. Blair Drover plays with them, too. And yeah, they're like a folk punk outfit from various parts of the prairies, and they hang out in Edmonton. So Joe's going to be playing some solo stuff, and I believe he's going to be playing with Curtis as well. But I wanted to play a tune called Ghost Town Stories. It's by Audio Rocketry from their album Eastward and Onward. Check it out, CITR 101.9 FM.
Skeleton men play a song for the alive and the dead. Sing a song to bring us at ease amidst the unrest. Let it marble our thoughts and rattle our bones, and give all the lonely drifters a feeling of a home. Sing a song for where they've been and now for where they are, either on the shoulder of a road or a freight flatbed car. Said goodbye to the old way, it's dust east as far as one knows when they're in flight from the family farm. They moved to the shanties and left a ghost behind. He checks in abandoned buildings that now hold an eerie shrine of a better time, a better day, a better way of life. The heart-stricken battle stole away their lifestyle. The town settled with the boom and emptied with the bust. Folks came with the wind and left with the dust. The golden paved streets have been left to rust, and their forgotten stories are now left up to us. Are now left up to us. Are now left up to us. Ghostly spirits, all that dwells. Skeleton man banged those pots and pans, set the tempo for the night song and dance. Sing out the ballad of yesterday, and we will join into the welcoming melodies of those familiar tunes. Cause right here is where we belong. We are at home when we're singing along. We'll wrap ourselves under a blanket of comfort tonight and keep it folded inside for every campsite. The long road that stretches ahead was given to us without alternative. You can call it a calling, you can call it fate. We didn't question it until it was too late. Come around to all you dreamers, freewheelers and rustlers and buskers and drifting hobos. Come around to all you gypsies and hippies and wayward and wanderers and honest folk and rogues. Come about the bonfire stones and share your heart up tales, for you are not alone. Join your voice into the swelling chorus and sing with the howling wolves deep in the forest. None of the same, no dead. Wake up with empty pockets, but a company of wealth. Even though our compasses cast us off upon our separate ways, so
until we meet again. I'll keep on singing.
Discorder Radio, CITR 101.9, Ghost Town Stories from Audio Rocketry, a song that's been in the mind of Matt Muse all day long.
Well, I was driving around listening to Radio 1, maybe not CITR, but I was listening to Radio 1, and the news coverage this morning was all about the protesters at Burnaby Mountain who are occupying the spot where Kinder Morgan surveyors have been trying to do their work, and they've been ordered out by the government, and they haven't yet, and the cops haven't like moved in on them yet, but it's kind of tense. And that song that we just heard is all about like it's about the prairies. It's like, you know, coal mining town specifically, because like Joe's from Drumheller, so it's the, you know, the sort of resource ghost town effect. And I was sort of, that song was playing in my head all day.
Drumheller, which actually strikes a real resemblance to McInnes Field these days.
Oh God, yeah, right out the window of the window of CITR here, you can just see this sort of scorched earth kind of situation going on there.
Yes, the Kinder Morgan story far from over, but we're not a news show. We're not going to delve into that too much more today, but I'm sure you're going to hear lots about that in the news in the coming weeks and months. But we want to quickly give a shout out to our good friends at Discorder Magazine. Of course, we are the audio baby of Discorder Magazine. Next time you're logging on the website, onto discorder.ca, make sure you check out the Discorder Reader Survey. On the right side of the page, there's a little panel. It says Discorder Reader Survey. You can win gift certificates and lots of other great prizes. The gift certificates include $25 at the Lido, the Rickshaw, and Vinyl Records. And rumor has it, we're going to actually be doing the draw at our Discorder fundraiser. This is the first time we're mentioning it, actually. It's now official. It's happening on Thursday, December 4th at everybody's new favorite venue, the Hindenburg. More to come on that in the coming weeks here on Discorder Radio. Quickly, before we end off the show, another show.